her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's
I feel like the big guy is all the way back. He's all the way back now. He's been, you know, he's been ornery. He's been edgy. Because he hasn't been able to lift weights recently because of an elbow issue. Has an MRI. Feels like he's in the clear, so he's starting to lift weights again. He's starting to get back in that good mood. Because A, he's building back up his rhythm. B, he's lifting weights, which is literally his favorite thing to do. But also, he's got mold in his big ol' 100-ounce water bottle. It's been a while since we've had that. I just feel like you're all the way back. Like, everything is falling into place, and you're becoming you once again as we get closer and closer to your day of birth.
This is a lot of mold. I've never had this much mold, but it wasn't moldy yesterday, and I rinse it out with water. So, what the hell happened?
Now, I don't consider myself a mycologist or an expert on mold and spores.
Here,
but
here comes everybody saying Joshua uses big words.
But I believe for mold, moisture is one of the important factors. So yeah, just rinsing it and not using any soap or detergent of any sort would lend itself to, you know, maybe yourself getting a little mold in things.
But I leave the cap off. Now, I've drank a third of it. So
here's it out, Josh. What's the big deal?
I mean, that's probably also a reason why there's more likely to be mold in it.
So I've drinking a third of it. It's kind of bad. I don't think you'll be able to see it on the camera.
Okay.
Do I keep going?
I guess the question is, so again, for those who aren't aware, Chewy has like a 100-ounce water bottle, but it's not like one he purchases. Yeah, it's just a plastic one. If you're on, you know, if you're on YouTube, you can see the bottle. It's like a one you would get at the grocery store that would have water in it. He drinks it, and then that's the one he uses until it gets to this point where it's moldy. Where is the mold?
Everywhere.
Floating.
Oh, it's floating in the water?
Everywhere. So, can I rehabilitate it, or do I got to throw it away?
Just throw it away, man.
Yeah.
You got your $4. One. You got your $4 out of it.
Also,
I didn't plan on going to the store today.
Haven't we learned in the year 2025 that reusing plastic bottles is pretty bad? It leaches chemicals and stuff into the water the more it's reused. Isn't that a thing we know? Isn't that why
Isn't that a thing? So here's the thing when it comes to water. I feel like I've heard everything when it comes to water. Like, that's bad. But no, it's good. But it's fine. Oh, too much water is good. Too much water is bad. You should be drinking more water. You should be drinking less water. I feel like I live in this just water cycle where you just, if you wait long enough, it's going to, you know, the opposite is going to be coming around. Like, I feel I've heard everything when it comes to water. So I have no idea.
My understanding has been that reusing disposable or single-use plastics like that is bad. That is my understanding.
But then it goes to what mold is good, what mold is bad.
It doesn't go to that.
I mean, you got blue cheese.
Nope. Doesn't go
you
there.
You got penicillin.
Blue cheese is bad. Penicillin's good. I'll give penicillin its love. But blue cheese is just bad.
Well, it's bad, but you can eat it, Gabe.
Yeah, but you shouldn't because it tastes bad.
Why?
Because it tastes bad.
Like, is this bad mold or is it good mold? Nobody knows.
I assure you that's bad mold.
You don't know that, though.
I do. Generally, unless it's made to be consumed or it's made to be a medicine, you can assume it's bad mold. Nobody opens up their basement and goes, good mold! Good mold!
Yeah, maybe somebody does.
Black mold, yes, that's bad. But I don't think that's kind of like a charcoal gray mold. So, I'm not going to drink it. This is the worst I've ever seen. I will say that. It's the worst. I didn't realize that you had to use soap and stuff, though.
What? Just isolate that phrase.
Josh, it's just water. What the hell? My pool doesn't get moldy.
You understand there's chemicals in that pool, right?
There's salt.
Yeah.
So if I put a little salt in this water, could I still use... I bet I could.
Just get a new one, man. It costs
$4.
Like you've,
but it's my birthday weekend. I wasn't going to go to the store.
It's my birthday weekend.
What are you?
Are you a birthday princess?
Yeah, I was about to say.
No, not at all.
Kind of sounds
well, I mean,
like
when you're using the phrase birthday weekend.
You're preempting us here.
Yeah,
no,
birthday,
that's girls.
It's my birthday weekend.
Nah, well, it should be. I don't. Well, let me. I'm not going to go here because it's not good. But I might as well. What the hell? Because it's what I do.
And it's your birthday weekend. Yeah. You get to do whatever you want.
Blame it on
well,
the
here's
mold.
My birthday weekend.
Yeah, but the mold made you do it.
The Spaniard's coming in this with his wife.
All right. That's
two
your buddy from St. Louis.
Lovely. You guys, he's been on the air. He's a little obnoxious, but he's kind of like a fine wine.
But he's your obnoxious.
Yes, he's my obnoxious. So I got to go pick him up at the airport. Oh, God. So tomorrow night, you know, we got six of us getting together, couples.
Okay. Sounds like a nice little time, nice little way to kick off the birthday weekend, nice little dinner with your friends.
You know what? My wife's got an upper respiratory infection. She's under the weather. She's hurting, but she's battling.
Okay.
But do you guys think I want to go to a magic show on my birthday?
Like,
can you pull that, Joshy? To our loyal listeners, all the years you have listened to me, to us, all the years.
Yep. Does Chewy sound like
a guy who wants to go to a magic show for his birthday?
When you say magic show for your birthday, I think of a clown that comes to your house and starts pulling quarters out from behind your ear. Because that's what I think of magic show for birthdays.
Gabe, I have no idea. I'm
guessing this guy's going to be a little closer to Chris Angel than that, but not quite, you know, that level of magician.
The best news I've got about the magic show I've received this morning, and the best thing about it.
Okay.
Any guesses?
Best thing about it. 2 drink minimum.
No. Nope.
Only an hour.
Josh nailed it. 75 minutes. I'm like, thank you.
75
thank
minutes?
You.
That's a long time for you.
75 minutes. Yes. And it's over at 8:30. So thank God. So then the next day, right?
Okay.
I'm a big day drinker. I love the day drink.
Yep. Famously couldn't do dry January. Had to do a damp January.
So it's going to be a little more people, right?
Yeah.
A little more people. I love dive bars.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Love dive bars, fun. There's a ton of them down here, place to place to place. We're going to a brewery that doesn't serve wine.
Now, famously, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel famously you haven't had a beer in like over a decade.
It's been a long time. Maybe three in my last 10 years. Yes, okay, maybe three.
But you don't drink a lot
of beer.
You don't drink a lot of anything other than wine.
No. So, Gabe, it's going to be about double. So it'll be probably 8 couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
This place has long tables that you sit at.
Okay.
No wine, because it's a brewery.
Yeah.
So how are we doing so far? How are we doing so far?
Doesn't seem to be great. Like, here's the thing, though. I firmly believe that you would be fine wherever you went, as long as you could get a decent glass of
wine.
That's
because I just let things roll. But
yeah.
Ideally, no.
But,
I want to go into a place that is playing Def Leppard and smells a little bit, maybe a little waft of smoke in the air. You know,
that they haven't been
a few bikers, maybe a few bikers, couple crazy people. That's my deal. Long tables, Gabe, long tables where don't work for 16 people. Would you agree?
I mean, you have to get something for 16 people. Like, I mean, unless you're going to get a night at the round table, like, what do we do?
I don't want to sit at a table.
Well, don't go sit at the bar.
You can't, because this place is like, it's a big stage and it's just, it's like a cafeteria. You know a cafeteria setup?
Yeah.
Long table.
I'm kind of
thinking.
Long
table. So, long table.
So have you been, I mean, again, you may not have because you're not a beer drinker, but have you been to Lakefront and like the restaurant bar area at Lakefront? Because that's what I'm kind of picturing.
Why would I go there? Why would I go there? If they don't have wine?
Same with everything Angie forced you to go.
Yeah.
Would be my imagination.
Why would you go there? Because you're going to this place.
In this bar, okay, picture the cafeteria, right?
Yeah.
Picture the school cafeteria. So to go to the bar, Gabe and Josh, You have to go to like the guidance counselor's office to go get a beer.
So they don't have like a bar that's at the back of the room?
No, outside of the big room.
That's weird. Why wouldn't you just have a bar in? Because again, that's what I was picturing. I'm picturing Lakefront. Anybody who's been to Lakefront knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I'm picturing.
Or any brewery. Wide open space usually.
Yeah, but like, Lakefront's probably the biggest one we have in terms of having that big open space and performance area and all that sort of thing. It still has the bar in the back that you can just go you can grab a bar stool and sit right there.
Critical to the whole adventure.
I've sent you guys multiple videos and multiple pictures of the place I love, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one you got flashed at? Kind of.
Where I get what?
No.
That place is cool, though. That place, we'll go there. So I'm massaging this as much as I can to, like, can we just go there for an hour and then hit a few other places?
I think that's a fair plan, especially it's your birthday.
But should I, on my birthday, should I have to massage things not to offend anyone?
No. You do whatever you want, man.
Okay.
But the problem is you never get to do whatever you want.
No.
Those times are very few and far between.
You know what? Gabe, and I'm sure you're the same. Josh, you roll with everything. The guys' roles are like, it's fine. I guess it's fine. Is it ideal? No, but it'll be fine.
Yeah, look, and you're in a tougher spot because Josh and I would roll with, okay, this is a brewery. Okay, I can have a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fine with beer. And that's the issue for you is that you rarely drink anything but wine.
Yeah, once
in this place... It's too big of a place, Joshy. So it's probably the size of... Gabe, you know the place we've done our show from there before that Jamie, who got canned like tuna from the company, owns?
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah,
you know
a
place I'm
just
too
west
big.
Of...
too big, right?
West of Fiserv.
Too big?
Where MKE used to be.
Gabe, too big?
That's a huge space. Yeah, that's a huge space.
That's what it is. Too big. That's not a dive bar.
That's not a dive bar.
Under the classification of a dive bar.
No, but I mean, I hate to do this to you on your birthday weekend, pal, but I also question your qualifications of a dive bar. Because you once came on this very show, on these airwaves, and tried to tell me that poke and having a poke bowl was dive bar food.
It's my birthday. What the hell is that? Josh, that was totally uncalled for.
That was a wild throwback there and probably one of your worst statements ever now that I hear it.
Now that you've heard it?
Yeah. I was at a dive bar this weekend with Gabe, and guess what I had?
Yeah.
Frozen pizza.
Took about
an hour to get it. Don't know why, but...
It burnt the top, the roof of your mouth, too, right?
But that's dive bar food.
Josh is like, I'm getting a pizza. 45 minutes later, this thing comes out. Like, wait, what the? I did not see anybody else.
No.
It's not like I saw, there's pizza over there, pizza over there, pizza. I did not see a single soul with pizza as well.
No, that's just what you do when you go to the dive bar. You enter into, you sit down, you strap in, and say whatever happens, happens. I might never get the pizza for all I know.
Sure, you would have loved the place we were at on Saturday. It looks like a house on the outside.
If I send you the video, can you post my kind of bar or no, or is that illegal?
We can.
I have no idea. I leave those types of things up to Joshy. Joshy's in charge of those types of rules. We've got plenty of other things we can want to get to today. The NFL salary cap going up higher than we initially thought. That's one of the many things we're going to talk to Jason Wilde about on a Dude Thursday. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's up, dude?
Dudes!
Mold is bad, dudes. What are we thinking here, Matt?
It's not all bad, though, Jason, right?
No, I think penicillin comes from it, but not the kind that's in your water bottle, you knucklehead.
But what about blue cheese? Are you a fan of blue cheese?
I am not.
Why doesn't anyone like blue cheese?
Well, I take that back. Like, the crumbles, when you have them on, like, a filet. But, like, I'm not going to the blue cheese very often. But, yeah, you're, again, this I deal with this on a very regular basis with your fellow NFL alumnus, Mark Tauscher. Like, the gut reaction, the knee-jerk reaction to things he says and the things that you say is always, oh, my God, is this guy an idiot? And then you take a beat and you think about it and you're like, you know what? Not as big of an idiot as I thought. And then the next step is, that's actually a good point. And then the next step is, I think I actually agree with him. But again, blue cheese and penicillin, still a very narrow area of mold that we're going to have to set aside.
Jason, one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen on a football field is in college when you have to play with a mouthpiece. It's the rules, or you get kicked out of the game. And one of our DBs for BC lost his mouthpiece on the field and couldn't find it. And he had a player from the sideline throw him his mouthpiece and he put it in. That is disgusting. That's a little too far. Would you agree?
It's like putting your whole face in the bowl. Yeah, no thanks. I'm going to pass on that. But again, rules are rules. Do you not?
Yes.
So wait a minute. Did you guys not have like backup mouthpieces or... Like, you just assume you're not going to lose something like that?
It was like the end of the half, and he was looking, couldn't find it, and he just ran over to the sideline and told one of the DBs to throw him their mouthpiece so he could stay in the game because they were driving, and
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty gross. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's worse than one of the tackles that you had to combo block filling his socks?
Yeah. Jason would know who that is, too.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Jason, I'm going to start with the nickname, and then just tell me if you know this player or not. We used to call him, because of that, Big Greasy.
Oh, Big Greasy. Now, I know there was a guy.
Number 68, right tackle.
So, wait, there was a guy named Jerry Kraft.
Yes, it wasn't him.
They called him the Big Creamy.
Big Creamy.
Because he was, I mean, I don't know if it was from his eating habits or just his sheer size. Was he the one who also sat in the back of his car to drive it?
Yes, he took the driver's seat out and sat in the back seat and drove his car. That's how big he was. Jason, J.S., this was before Big Creamy. You had to be there.
All right. And he wore 68?
Yeah.
I feel like a failure now. Joe Sims.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding.
Sorry, it took me a while. I don't know how many. Like, that's one of those numbers that, like, I know Gail Gillingham, who was like one of the great offensive linemen, wore it. But other than Mike Wall, I don't. Breno Giacomini maybe wore it, but I don't know. There's not many. Yeah. I'm usually pretty good at this game. Not as good as Tim Van Voren, but what in the game he did this?
No, this was practice. So, but still, I had a little on my shoe, and I. The very few diapers that I'd change, when I'd get a little bit of Duke on my, you know, from my kids on my face, I'd just shake. Because you don't know what to do. You just sit there and go like.
They have those little baby wipes that you just grab one of.
Yeah, but it's on your hands. It's like, kind of gross.
Wow. This is really taking a turn, thanks to Joe Sims.
Yeah.
And Joe, we certainly thank you. Jason.
Big Greasy.
Jason. When are the Packers going to re-sign Brandon McManus?
Great question. Tausch thinks they should franchise tag him.
No, like just
pay
come
him $6 million plus next year.
Just come to an agreement. Like it shouldn't be this hard, should it?
Yeah. I did think it was interesting when I talked to Brandon McManus late in the season for a story, and I asked him if he wanted to be back here. He gave kind of one of those non-committal answers. So, obviously the Packers were the team that were willing to sign him after his the allegations of his inappropriate behavior on the flight to London had been resolved, which I think were with some sort of a settlement. But, I mean, maybe he doesn't want to be back here, right? Like, or maybe he was just keeping his options open, or maybe he's talking to a reporter that he doesn't trust, because anytime any of us wanted to talk to him, like the first time I went to talk to him one-on-one, he said, well, what do you want to talk about? And I wanted to say, well, I don't want to talk about the plane thing. I want to talk about football. But I said, well, not what you might be concerned about. I want to think about or talk about. So I don't know, like, my question is, has he rehabilitated his bargaining power with the way he kicked, that he's going to have interest from other teams that also don't have good kickers? And is he going to have an opportunity, I don't know, maybe to kick somewhere closer to where, I mean, his family did not come here. He's got, I think, two or three kids and his wife, and they didn't come here after he signed with the Packers. They came for a couple of weekends to see games, but he didn't want to pull them out of school. And so I don't know. Maybe he's decided, hey, I can still kick in this league, and I want to keep my options open. And on the flip side, we're all sitting here going, hey, Goody, after what you went through with Anders Carlson and the Narv dog, it would probably be great to have a veteran kicker who only missed two kicks after you signed him. But maybe Goody saw him as a temporary solution, and he's got something else in mind. Like, it feels like a no-brainer, but maybe it's not.
Jason, is Goody the type of GM that would rather have the window half open for 8 years or all the way open for four?
Oh, first of all, Chewy, I mean, come on. He told us he doesn't believe in windows. Which I need to introduce him to Gina Della, clearly. But
well,
he
doesn't believe in rebuilds either, because obviously we're never in one under his
right. Knowledge. And Aaron Jones will be back, and we're going to re-sign Devontae Adams,
yeah,
the Hall of Fame player, and yeah. So so take that for what it's worth. But I don't think there's any question he wants a window that is somewhat open for 8 years as opposed to wide open for 4 years. I don't think there's, like, the whole concept of draft and develop and the whole way that they approach never going all in. And I know he would argue that they went all in toward the tail end of the Rodgers era by bringing guys back, but that's not my definition of all in.
Mm-mm.
All in is not only do you bring all your guys back, but then you go out and get a huge piece and you mortgage your cap future and know you're going to have some pain down the road in order to do it. And they've never done that. But, you know, you look at what they do. The 2010 title team is the exact proof of what they're hoping for. And by the way, this is not a criticism. Like, I think it's the right way to go, because there are so many variables in the postseason. I mean, I saw, as you well know, because you were lying on the Qualcomm Stadium turf with your face mask in the grass after that final pass, I saw a far superior team lose the Super Bowl to a bunch of knuckleheads and John Elway, right? I mean,
yeah.
So the 2010 team getting into the playoffs on the final day of the season and needing help to get there, and then going on the run that they did, I think that's the Packers' way. It's, hey, we're going to put together a competitive playoff caliber team that we feel good about making the playoffs, and then we're going to hopefully be the team that's hot at the right time, catches a couple breaks, and we're going to win a Super Bowl.
And again, I don't want that to be clipped for social media as if I'm trashing them, because I'm not. I think that's the right way to go, because there are so many instances throughout history where you could say we're going all in and put all the pieces together, and all it takes is one fluky thing, and you will have now mortgaged your future in order to try and go all in that year, and then you don't get it, and now you're screwed for a couple of years. So,
yeah, but it really doesn't work, though, Jason, and it hasn't worked for 15 years because Ted was under that same kind of model, and we're kind of spinning wheels here.
Right, but again, this is the problem. Like, the 2014 team, which obviously Joe Sims is its socks at the end of that game, like, they belonged in the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And they had gone, I mean, for them, they had gone, they signed Julius Peppers, who I know was, you know, 33 or 34 when they signed him, but that was the kind of, that was a little all-in-ish for them to do.
That was a
right?
Ron move, though, Jason. Wasn't it a Ron move? Because no, if you look Ron at Ron, what Ron did, Jason, was, okay, make a big splash, have some young guys, but backfill it with Pro Bowl players. Keith Jackson, multiple Pro Bowls. Eugene Robinson, Pro Bowls. Sean Jones, multiple Pro Bowls. Don Beebe, hell of a guy, hell of a player. You know, he did it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy into their way of draft development.
I would agree with that. Like, first of all, I still, you know, regardless of how many times Goody tells us that his philosophy is it's a young man's game and you got to play these guys and live through the growing pains. So by the second half of the season, they've grown through those and they're much better players. I understand the philosophy there, but I still believe in veteran players. And I think the perfect example, and this might've been the difference between them advancing in the playoffs this year and not, is they did not have a veteran Bruce Wilkerson type, Jeff Dellenbach type of offensive linemen that when Elgton Jenkins goes down, they had to put two very large, but still essentially in NFL terms, children into the game, right?
Yeah.
Travis Glover, rookie sixth round pick, had played like eight snaps on offense. Then when he fails miserably, they go to Kadeem Telfert, who spent the 2023 season on the practice squad, and I think had played 13 offensive snaps before he had to go in. If they have a guy who has played in the NFL for 8-9 years that can go in there and get you through it and not get a bunch of penalties and get the quarterback killed, they were within 16-10 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. So maybe that kind of move is the, like, maybe you don't have to go all in. Maybe you just have to have a few guys that are outstanding, experienced backups, guys that used to be starters, aren't there anymore, and can go in a pinch and get you through a game and maybe start a couple games if you're missing a guy. And that has not been the Packers' way since Ron retired.
Jason, there are reports that Joey Bosa could be released from the Chargers as a salary cap casualty. Does that feel like the most realistic name you've heard to help the Packers with their pass rush?
Now, he's had injury issues, right?
Correct. Played 14 games, though, in 2024. Played 14 games combined the 2 years previous.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody that Goody's not interested in, right? He doesn't want guys that are breaking down. I would just say this. When we asked Bulaga about him being available, you know, Brian could not be a nicer person. And he really struggled to find a way to not just flat out say, no, I don't think so. So he eventually landed on signing both him and Khalil Mack, which I can fairly confidently say will definitely not occur. But I really would like, and Goody's going to talk on Tuesday in Indy, and I'm curious to see what he says, because I wonder how he views that defensive line. Because I keep going back to a quote from his post season presser in which he basically said that he believes in all those guys. And then they fired the line coach. And it makes me wonder if he thinks that they don't need to do the Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, Miles Garrett, Joey Bosa, whatever type big splash signing at that position. And instead, they can go with the guys they have, believe they're going to be better in year two of the system, draft the guy pretty high, and roll like that. I really think there's a distinct possibility that that's his mentality. But again, it doesn't matter what he says. It matters what he does. And if we wake up one morning like we did with Julius Peppers, and there's Max Crosby having taken pictures inside Lambeau Field, and not even Shefty had gotten that, then great, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Jason, is that because he drafted three of the four of them and he would essentially have to admit that he was wrong, which GMs have a hard time doing?
They definitely do. I mean, other than Ron, yeah, and the Joey Jameson pick in 2000 when he was standing on the sideline with us, and Joey Jameson, who was drafted purely to be a punt returner, dropping punt after punt after punt, and he turns to us and says, "Well, I guess I effed up that pick."
That's so awesome.
Which remains one of my favorite Ron Wolf moments. God, I love him. Yes, and he kept him around all the way to training camp, just like when he signed Josh Heupel. My other favorite Ron story. He loved Josh Heupel, and Josh Heupel won a Heisman. Right?
Yeah, Heisman Trophy
somehow.
Winner.
Yeah.
But he was not an NFL quarterback.
No.
And so Ron signs him, and then he goes on a scouting trip. And I think it was during the – I can't remember if it was off-season program. I think so. Or maybe it was early in training camp. Must have been the off-season program. And the scouts are like, "Oh, my God, this guy is terrible." Now, he's turned out to be a good coach, and I'm not trying to drag him. But they actually – wanted, they said, "We have to keep this guy around." Like, they needed to make some sort of roster move, and they didn't make it because they wanted to keep him around so Ron had to watch at a practice how terrible Josh Heupel was before they moved on from him. So he's a Hall of Famer, and I love him to death, but he was not omniscient and perfect.
He said the same thing to me about 10 years after I retired. We were at a reunion dinner, and I was sitting right next to him, and he turns to me and goes, "How weren't you a first or a second round pick?"
And I'm like, and that's what he used to always say, right?
"You're the GM. You tell me."
But that's what he would always say when people would ask about, you know, you were a sixth rounder. Timmerman was a seventh rounder. Yeah. Marco was a sixth rounder. What he would say was, "If I was that good at my job, I wouldn't have waited until the sixth or seventh round to draft those guys. I would have seen how good they were and drafted them earlier." Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of honesty and ownership, I mean, I love the guy to death, and he's one of the all-time greats, as we well know.
Jason, appreciate it. Look forward to more coming up at 9 o'clock with Wildy and Tausch.
All right, dudes. Appreciate you. Take care. Be good.
See you, dude.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Right now, you want to be able to take advantage of some of the screaming deals going on at Piggly Wiggly when it comes to screaming Sicilian Detroit style and stuffed crust pizza. They're on sale right now, just $6.99 at Piggly Wiggly through the 25th. So you still have five more days to take advantage of this. Again, screaming Sicilian Detroit style, if you're unfamiliar, Joshy is a big fan. I'm a big fan. Kind of a lighter, airier crust, even though it's a thicker crust. Comes with its own pan that you make it in the oven with so you can get that caramelized cheese on the crust.
Good stuff.
Oh, it is so good. And then they've got stuffed crust pizza. That needs no explanation. Great screaming Sicilian crust, and then you stuff some cheese in the crust. Yeah, it's going to be great. So get those two, $6.99 right now at Piggly Wiggly through the 25th. Stock up on your faves and taste what all the screaming is about.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj? Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
that Joey Bosa was going to be a salary cap casualty. I mean, my ears perked up. I had some interest. And then you start digging deeper, and it's very obvious that Joey has been doing some trading the last few years on his brother's name. Like, his last name's Bosa. So you're thinking, oh, okay, he's got to be, you know, I mean, Bosa boys are pretty good. No, not the last few years. Because for the first time, I mean, Joey Bosa Chew was relatively healthy this last year. Played, I mentioned it to Jason, he played 14 games this past season after playing 14 games in the 2 years combined before that. Care to take a guess on how many sacks Joey Bosa had last year?
Six.
Yeah, five.
Yeah, that's, well.
I mean, he'd fit right in. I mean, he'd fit right in.
Is his brother any better?
His brother is much better. Yes.
Because he's younger. Which one's younger?
Nick.
Who's he play for?
The 49ers. The 49ers.
What do you mean, who's he play for?
Yeah,
I don't know their name. I know their last name. His dad went to BC. He was going out as I was coming in. Okay?
Yeah, Nick has stayed a lot healthier. So he only played 14 games this last year, but had 9 sacks. Had 10.5 the year before, 18.5 the year before, 15.5 the year before.
But didn't he have to take a pay cut, I thought?
No.
I thought, you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Did the Packers play San Diego this year? Or L.A. or whatever the hell their name is?
I mean, maybe.
Which team are you talking about?
Yeah, which Joey are you talking about? Or which Bosa are you talking about?
San Diego Chargers.
Okay, so Joey Bosa, that is the one who is going to be released because he's a salary cap casualty.
And he's the oldest.
And he's older.
Yes.
And he's much worse.
You don't want him. Yes, I agree. I thought San Francisco was getting released, and I'm like,
No. San Francisco one, sign me up.
Yeah, he's still thought of as like a top five pass rusher.
Yeah,
the one in San Francisco, yes. Nick.
Sign me up for Nick.
Yes. Now, the brother's still going to get paid, though, because his last name's Bosa.
I don't know. He hasn't stayed healthy, and he hasn't been like productive.
I think he'll get a decent amount of money. I mean, he has double-digit sack seasons, but he was never a high sack guy. He was sort of the defensive. He was on the Rashawn Gary spectrum, but at the top end of it. Like, he was the higher end of that.
But this would be the Sean Jones of my era to compliment Reggie White. The problem is the current Packers don't have a Reggie White.
I'd settle for a Reggie White light.
They don't have a KGB.
Aaron Campman.
No, you would settle for him if Myles Garrett was on one side of the ball.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yes. if they had a legit pass rusher, yes, I would want him as a complimentary piece.
Correct.
The problem is,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's also the same.
Going back to this.
The problem is that's all the Packers have on their defensive line, Chewy, is complimentary pieces.
All right, well,
like, you'd feel better about Rashawn Gary if you had a better pass rusher on the other end.
All right.
Instead, it's Lucas Van Ness.
Let's go back a segment because Jason answered my question. Now, you guys answer my question. Do you want a guy where the window's half open for 8 years or full open for 4? Because a full open for 4, you go get Crosby, you go get Hendrickson, you go get Garrett, right? Because you know it's going to sting, but you know what? You wouldn't be the favorite to win it all, but you'd be a hell of a lot higher than you're going to be without having him. So you can't have both either, Gabe, because you guys have always said, give me a Crosby, give me a Garrett. That's window wide open.
Yeah,
so do you want it wide open or do you want it half open? Because half open is Bosa or Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I feel like if you have stars, the window is always going to be wide open.
But there's going to be pain down the road. Are you all right with pain down the road?
I mean, there's pain along the way, even if you only keep it. Well, because here's the problem, I guess, that I have with the way the Packers are doing it right now, is that so many of these guys, starting with next year and then following the year after, they're relying on so many of these different players that have come out of those two draft classes, you're going to have to make major decisions anyway. Like, you're going to be going through a little, and I don't know, fully expect it to be a rebuild because you'll re-sign some of those guys, but you're going to be going through some sort of retinkering, Chew, after this? Like, you're got to make a lot of decisions starting next year with the receiving core. What are we going to do with, it starts with Watson, starts with Dobbs. The year after, what are we going to do with Jaden Reed? What are we going to do with Tucker Kraft? What are we going to do with Luke Musgrave? Like, you've got a lot of questions, and because you're relying on those two draft classes so heavily as the youngest team in the league, like, who are you going to sign? Who are you not going to re-sign? You got to backfill those positions. Where are you going to be getting these guys from? So that's where I kind of have questions about the way they're doing it now and think that, so right now with this core that you have, you've got this year and next year, go get someone. And but that guy's probably going to be here more than 2 years if you go get Crosby, if you get Myles Garrett. And then you've got, all right, we've got Jordan Love on offense. We've got this guy on defense. We'll fill in around him, and we're going to feel pretty good about our chances of being a playoff team.
But, Gabe, just listening to Jason, which there's a good chance they're not going to do anything with the D-line, maybe add a $12 million player, which is a nothing. What do you do if Rashawn Gary has another 6.5 sacks next year?
See ya.
And then what about Lucas Van Ness if he does nothing again next year? Now you're starting
from
scratch
play out his
with
four
the
years.
D-line. But he stinks.
Yeah.
So play out 9 years at minimum. Who cares? You're never going to be a dominant player. So what do you do then? Now you have a huge hole on probably the second, third, or fourth most important position on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is why I would go make a move for one of those guys if they indeed become available. But again, I still... Bad teams make those moves. Like, we sent the thank you letter to Joe Shane of the New York Giants for being a dip bleep and letting, again, not just letting Saquon Barkley walk out the door, but they let a young guy in Xavier McKinney walk out the door. They let two All-Pros just leave. Two young All-Pros in their 20s, best at their position guys, leave their team. And they're still in shambles. Now, both those guys aren't helping the Giants be a playoff team. I mean, they would if you continue to build around them. But, like, bad teams, to me, are the ones that let Myles Garrett walk out the door, let Max Crosby walk out the door, let Trey Hendrickson walk out the door. Like, if Joey Bosa had 12.5 sacks last year, guess what he's not going to be this year? A salary cap casualty. You're keeping that guy at whatever number you have him at because it's worth it.
Yeah, to me, those teams have given those guys reasons to move on as well. Like, Saquon Barkley could have elected to try and go back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was those bad teams were in rebuilding. To this point, I've agreed with post Aaron Rodgers pretty much everything Goody's done. Now, you can quibble about which exact pick he's made, but the positions he's gone for. And the way he's rebuilt an entire wide receiver room, an entire safety room. Like, we talk about Evan Williams and Javon Bullard, and Kadana Oladapo seems like he's a starter-level player, and he's the third-string guy who's struggling to get. Like, he's completely rebuilt the tight end room as well. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you look at the running backs, that seems to be on the way there as well. The problem is, right now is when I think it's time to change. Now is you pick and choose instead of just throwing draft assets at positions to get better. Now is the time where a move like Max Crosby makes sense because you are building a team. You are using those assets to get better in real, real determinate ways. Like, you would love to have more superstars through the draft. And maybe Evan Williams ends up being a 10-year Packer Hall of Famer, like all-time great. Who knows? But at this point, your assets are starting to get to the point where use them to get superstars.
And the issue with pass rush as well.
Yeah,
because
but
if you look
if
at...
You, if you, go if ahead, you look at, Gabe, the top teams in the NFC, right?
Yep.
They've all made big moves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Philadelphia Eagles, A.J. Brown. You know? Big move. San Francisco 49ers, Christian McCaffrey. Big move. Minnesota Vikings. At the time, we were like, T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah.
Big move. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the Packers? What's their big move? They don't have any big moves. It's just not what
they do. And again, I do want to give credit, Josh, to Goody for rebuilding those rooms. The problem is rebuilding your defensive line, rebuilding your pass rush is probably one of the hardest things to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a look at the best safeties in the league, there's going to be some first rounders, there's going to be some second rounders, there's going to be things sprinkled in. You know, look at, I mean, tight ends can be found all across the draft. First round all the way down to the seventh round. Same thing with wide receivers. If you look at the pass rush, I mean, we're talking about guys who are in rounds one and two.
Yeah.
I mean, in more than likely high draft picks. If you go and look, and I did this a year ago, so I don't know how it panned out this year, and I certainly can go look. But like, eight of the top 10 guys in sacks were high first round picks.
Yeah, that's a position that seems to be solved in terms of that's where you get your guys. Yeah. It's very few and far between where a guy matters.
You can get depth and all those other things later in the draft when it comes to
pass
rush.
Lucas Van Ness is looming at 13 overall. You seem to be primed for a position, and then the Jets take the other option, Wisconsin kid, and he ends up having way more sacks and being way more productive. Sometimes you swing and you miss.
Especially when you pick swap, too.
Yeah, and like I can forgive a draft miss. It happens to everyone.
Yeah,
sometimes, sure. Like, you also have to factor in how that goes on. They're in a spot now where you've tried one method. It doesn't work. It's now left you in a lurch. You don't have pass rush. You don't have as good as you want to be. You've given these assets, so guess what? You can't sunk cost fallacy it. You can't be like, well, we drafted 13 overall, and that's just what it is. It's no, we got to buy ourselves out of this.
You got to figure out a way, certainly, to get out.
I agree.
Chewy, if I say 3.1% to you, and I give you 3.1% chance of something happening, how do you feel about that?
3.1 as in my GPA?
No, out of 100.
3.1.
That's not
There's
a
no
GPA.
Way you had a 3.1.
I lied a little bit.
I've done it once, one semester.
There is a 3.1% chance of something happening. We're going to find out if Chewy's comfortable with those odds. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chance. It seems pretty low, right? Probably wouldn't want to take those odds. But what if I told you, Chewy, that NASA has now said there is a 3.1% chance that an asteroid is going to be hitting the Earth in 2032? You comfortable with those odds? You comfortable with 3.1%?
What would it do, the asteroid?
So it is a city destroyer. So it would, if it made contact, it would destroy a city. Apparently, if it landed in the ocean, the resulting tsunami would be the biggest ever observed by humans. So not good things. Like, it would literally just take a city off the face of the Earth.
How big is the asteroid? Do they have any idea?
I mean, if it's called a city destroyer, it'd be pretty damn big, brother.
Like, but I heard a basketball would, like, destroy a...
Would not.
City block. No?
No.
This is a city destroyer that it's estimated to be anywhere from 131 to 290 feet in diameter.
3.1%
chance. Apparently, KenPom, which is an advanced analytics college basketball site, gave UMBC a 2.5% chance at beating Virginia the year that UMBC beat Virginia. So I'm just saying,
that
just saying.
Make me feel great.
just putting it out there for context perspective, right?
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, keep some perspective out there.
Looks like I'm going to purchase a plane before 2032.
Just
I'll
in
know
case.
It's going to hit, right?
Oh, but yeah, if it actually is going to hit at that point, yes,
we'll know
I'm sure
exactly
they'll have,
where.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have, they'll know exactly where it's going to
hit. And your plan there is to just be in the air and avoid the flight path?
Yeah, that would work.
But if, say, it's going to hit in Russia, I don't think you need a plane.
Yeah.
Just ride it out.
Then I'd be fine, but if, you know, it...
Couldn't you just go to Wisconsin if it was bound for Florida, or go for Florida if it was bound for Wisconsin?
I think the airlines would be pretty full at that point in time. Might be tough booking a flight. I suppose you could drive. But the roads would be back. Maybe a helicopter. No?
Wait, are you getting your pilot's? Are you getting your pilot's license in the next 7 years? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, possibly. No, what would you guys do? What would you do?
I would leave the area that's supposed to be damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have months warning. It's not like it's going to pop up.
It's not like, hey, by the way, in 12 hours,
right.
Milwaukee's
everyone
getting
panic.
Hit. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm not that worried then.
All right. Good to know. I'm a little concerned.
How do you think what do you think asteroid damage is for, like, home insurance? Hey, my house got destroyed.
I don't think there's coverage.
Seems unfair.
Act of God? You think that would fall under Act of God? You know the insurance company's pushing back.
They push back at everything, so why would anything change? Yeah.
We talked yesterday a lot about Mark Attanasio. His son is claiming he was misquoted. We dive into that in 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.